So hello, everybody, and welcome to week 4 of the Sweet Spot Solution. I'm super excited to be here with you to address some of your questions, to give you a summary. Give me a second. My throat suddenly got really dry. All right, to address what's going on this week, what we're expecting, find out how your metabolic reset's going, address your questions, and let you know about a special call that we're having on Wednesday. Sorry, we're going to preempt the Zoom that Angelica usually does, because that was the only time in my calendar we could do it and get the people that we have some special guests coming in to help us, but Angelica will find another time for that. I'm excited because one of the bonuses we offered you was the overcoming self-sabotage. And interesting thing was I did a poll in my Unstoppable Health group a few months ago just to see, like, what is it that keeps you from being as healthy as you desire to be, right? And I gave a bunch of options, and then you had the write-in option. And I was expecting it, not knowing what to do, being confused. There was a lot of stuff I was expecting. But the thing that was the highest in the top was self-sabotage. So I thought, you know, self-sabotage, that would keep you from being able to successfully complete a program. And self-sabotage looks a lot of different ways. It doesn't mean you're sitting there going, how can I self-sabotage today, right? Nobody does that sort of thing. But there's things that play in your subconscious, but also habits that you haven't yet formed that get in your way of doing what you really need to be doing. So we scheduled this special call very appropriately to be within starting a few days of starting the metabolic reset, because this is something that where you're making a commitment to go 30 days doing some specific things. And I don't want you to get 10 days in and have those old programs popping in and going, you can't do this. You're too stupid. You always fail at everything. Why do you think this is going to be different? Has anybody ever had those voices in their head? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So on Wednesday at 1 o'clock, we're going to do a Zoom call like this. We're going to bring in a couple of people to speak. I'm going to start it off. I have a couple of people who have very specific strategies for you. Some of them are emotional strategies and some of them are more practical strategies. And then I'm going to go through more. And part of what I'm going to do is teaching you some ways to create habits that don't overwhelm you. Now, who here is the type of person that says, I'm going to start an exercise program tomorrow. I'm going to run 3 miles and then I'm going to jog this and I'm going to do this. And you have this like huge exercise program and I'm going to do it every day at 10 a.m. and I'm going to do this, right? And it doesn't work. Yeah, who's ever done that? Who's ever tried to bite off like the whole elephant all in one spot and then got frustrated after 2 days and gone, I can't do this. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So we're going to talk about ways to help you to make tiny little habits that are going to last a lifetime, tiny little habits that are going to then grow and grow and grow. And you get to feel successful instead of going into self-sabotage again, because you feel like a failure. And you're not a failure. You just set your goals too big for any normal human being to be able to take on right from the start. I've been there, done that. I've done that, written up the calendar, and I'm going to get up at this time. I'm going to do 25 push-ups. Then I'm going to do this. I'm going to meditate for a half an hour. And I've had this whole thing laid out, and I never made it through the first day. So we're going to give you some strategies for how I've managed to incorporate the exercise, the meditation, the good eating, without stressing myself out and without putting myself in a position where I'm bound to self-sabotage, because there's no other way, right? Because it was way too big. So that's Wednesday. Mark your calendar at 1 p.m. same time as this on Wednesday. I wanted to kind of keep it the same time, and I checked in with our guests, and they're going to come in. So I have 2 guests that are coming in, and I'm going to do it. So you should have gotten, it's on this Zoom. So all you have to remember is this place, same place as we are right now on Wednesday, same time. Okay. So we wanted to make it as easy as possible and not have a separate Zoom link, separate time. So then you get confused. No, let's make it as easy as possible. I'm about making this process as easy as possible, right? We have this metabolic reset that some of us all started together on Friday. Some of us are started a little earlier. Some of us are starting a little later. It doesn't really matter. You can do this at your own pace. There's no such thing as being behind. If you're looking and going, well, there was no way because of this, that, and the other thing that I could have started on Friday, no big deal. Start today. Start on Wednesday. Start on Friday. Just don't put it off too long, right? Because if you put it off too long, you will be wasting our precious time here, right? So metabolic reset. We started Friday. What does that mean? There are some specific guidelines for how you're going to eat during the metabolic reset. There's guidelines for other pieces, but we decided this year to make it easier for you to be successful, to start with the food and then inch in some of the other things. Because if I give you a list of 5 different things that you have to do starting on Friday, you're like, right? It's too much, right? Which ones can I give up? I get those kind of questions all the time. But this conflicts with this, conflicts with this. Which one should I do? So we're nailing on the food. What you're going to do is you're going to see that when you get the food wired, there's other things. You may have the food wired and you're still having spikes sometimes. We're going to deep dive into that. Like, what is it? Is it your level of fitness? Is it the level of training that your muscles have? And we just can't get them up to speed until we add the fitness piece. Is it the stress piece? The stress piece is huge. Even for those of you who don't think you have a stress piece, sometimes their stress responses are so wired in that it doesn't feel like stress. Does that make sense? Like, it's so wired into your psyche to see certain things and have your whole body go into this state. And you don't even know it because it's happening inside, not outside. You're going, I'm not stressed. But inside, there's all kinds of metabolic changes. And so we're working on, this week is the stress reef, right? The stuff that we work on this week is the stress levels. So I've given you, again, piecemeal. We've got a whole bunch more stuff I could give you on stress, but I don't want to stress you out. So I gave you 3 things to work on for stress. Can you imagine? This is the week to work on stress, but I didn't have time to fit that 40-minute meditation and I don't... No, no. All you need to be doing is focusing on that one technique, the quick coherence from HeartMath. And we're going to do it all together right here. Thank you. Martha's demonstrating it, right? We're going to do it right here together. And I want you to learn to just do it whether you need it or not. Don't wait until you feel like you need it. Don't wait until that stressful moment when your kid just like threw a tantrum or your grandkid threw a ball through the window and there's glass all over the place. Those are the times when you can do this. But if you haven't practiced beforehand, it's kind of hard to do then, right? So we're going to take a moment to do this now. And we're going to work on doing this, working up to 5 times a day. Start with once a day. Start with before, move to before each time you eat. And then move to beginning and the end of the day. Whatever order you want to do, but 5 times a day would be ideal. And then more when you need it. You'll find out what that feels like. So let's just take a few deep breaths. Focus your attention on your heart. And breathe in through your abdomen. Expand your abdomen as you breathe. It'll get big, but we're not going to see it. It's okay. And let the breath out. Focus on the out breath being a little longer than the in breath, because the out breath is what puts you into what's called parasympathetic state, that calm, rest, digest, detox state of your nervous system. And so breathe in. And as you breathe out, just feel your shoulders drop. Allow your neck to relax. You can move it around if you want to. And then let that breath out and stay out for a bit, a second to 2. I don't want you turning blue, just a couple of seconds to just be a pause between breaths. And then breathe in again. And as you breathe in as if you're breathing right into your heart. You're breathing oxygenated air, clean, fresh air into your lungs and into your heart to soothe and bathe your heart. And then find a place to go to. I like to transport myself in space and time. I can't really do it in space, but it feels like it. I like to go to the beach You may like to go visit me in the beach. You may want to go to the beach by yourself. You may want to go to the top of a mountain, sit by a lake. Go to those places and just breathe and just take it all in with every morsel of your being, your eyes, your nose, your ears, your tongue, your taste sensations all over your body so that you're reliving it. And the cool part is we're tricking the nervous system into thinking you're really there. And the cool part about the nervous system response is it creates the same biochemical pool that it would if you were at peace, relaxing in your favorite place. And then if you add to it the emotion, appreciation, like, oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I have that experience. I'm so grateful to be here at my favorite beach right now. I'm so grateful to be able to come to this favorite beach anytime I want to, just a few breaths. And allow yourself to sit in gratitude. And gratitude creates a state of coherence between your heart and your brain and all the rest of you, your hormones, your glands, your pancreas. Take some more deep breaths, and then when you're ready, bring it back. And if you'd like to, just type into the chat and say one or two words about how you feel right now. Everybody looks, there's a difference in how you look, which means there's a difference on the inside. Amazing, calm, peaceful, centered, full. I'm seeing all these pop up. Serene, present, connected. Oh, I love it. Yeah. Now imagine if you could feel this way. Less neck pain. That's awesome. Sweet joy. Yeah. Coming home, feeling alive, feeling calm. They're coming in too fast for me to keep up with now. Imagine just feeling like this throughout the day, anytime you want to. When that thing comes, am I doing it right? That little voice, am I doing it right? Am I doing enough? That you could just go and go, I am enough. All right. I didn't realize my neck was so crunched. There you go. We get so used to that state of stress that it just becomes normal and we don't even recognize that we have stress. So what we're going to do is we're going to have you focus on this throughout the week. Focus on your chart. There's a chart. It's in the menu planner and recipe guide, page 12. Hopefully you've printed that out by now. Hopefully you've been put big X's through any of the foods that you found raise your blood sugar. We're just going to keep a very, you know, small but broad diet for this month. And we're going to just allow your insulin receptors to breathe a sigh of relief because they're not pounded with all that insulin because you're not making them work so hard. You're not making your pancreas work so hard. And it's amazing what can happen. The first week, you might feel a little bit more tired, right? That's okay. I know you came here to overcome the tired, but you may feel more tired because you're shifting your body's biochemistry. You're allowing it to go into a new place. You're allowing it to learn to burn fat, whether it's on your body or in your diet, more for than relying constantly on needing glucose. And the glucose doesn't last very long, and then you're hungry again. We're retraining. So the first week, you might feel a little bit off. Some people don't. Some people immediately feel better. But what you'll see is you'll find that the cravings are less if you're having cravings, that need for something sweet after a meal. And if you do have that need for something sweet at the end of a meal, there's plenty to choose from in the menu planner, right? To trick your body into thinking it's getting sugar without. Is that perfect long-term? No, but who cares, right? We're here to do a transition and a shift. So, and then any questions that we have, Angelica has pulled them out from in the chat on the Facebook, and then any questions you have here, she'll be going back and forth between them and presenting them to me. And then I may have a question from you that I need to talk to you. I need like to go back and forth, and then I'll just say, open up your line. Let's talk about this. Some of them are quick and easy questions, like, you know, that everybody's had. One of the questions that a lot of folks have had has been about weird results. Like, oh my God, when I did this, it went up and then it went down and then it went up again. I prefer to wait on those until you've been in the metabolic reset for a full week and allowed your body to get into a rhythm, because you may see some wacky stuff, and then we'll talk about what you can do to support you. What I found for myself is my blood sugar goes way up when I go for a run, and maybe it's because I'm going out in the heat, and you know, maybe it's because I'm pushing myself too hard, but whatever it is, my sugar will go up 25 to 30 points after a run. And so what I found was that if I take my chromium magnesium, I have a combination formula from glucose function from Pure Encapsulations. And if I take that right after I get back, it goes down very quickly. But what if I were to take it before I go? Would that be even better? Yes, it probably would. So that's what I'm going to try on my next run. So it's a matter of like trying different things and different orders of things and different ways to do it to try to adapt to get your body to respond most significantly. Okay. And I see Barbara just joined us, and Chris, and who else did I see? New Keto. Hi. Okay, good. So Angelica, did I make you, are you co-host? Did you come in as
co-host? I am.
Good. So you can control people's mics. And if you have a dog barking in the background, we'll make sure you get mic'd. That was happening the other day with my dog on a call. My husband goes out for his walk and he meets two of the neighbors, and they do their social distance walk through the neighborhood. And every time he walks out the door, like the dog comes running upstairs to my office where there's an outside high up window, and she stands there and she's like, woo, like howling like a wolf every single time he does that. And she does that like off and on for like an hour, which made it really challenging on my calls the other day. Okay. So yeah, you were on one of those calls.
I heard. It was kind of cute.
All right.
Okay. Questions. Here we go. Alrighty. So Serena asked, I've been following the program all week and the fatigue is real. She said she's including lots of avocado nuts, concerned about sustaining her weight though. She eats as much as she can at every meal. Any other tips to maintain weight? And I'm not certain if she means losing or gaining. So
I think she means maintaining. Yeah, she means not losing. You know, you are one of those folks. I've never had that problem. So I have to, you know, I've never had the problem of if I eat a lot, I gain weight. If I stop, I lose weight. So mine is a very simple, simple formula. But with having a problem maintaining the weight, I would say you may need to eat. Everybody else, put your hands over your ears. Don't listen to this. This is for Serena and anybody else who's having trouble with not wanting to lose weight. Okay. You may have to make sure that you're eating three or four times a day, not two or three, right? Add that extra meal. Space it to maybe it's 3.5 hours apart instead. Figure out your eating window. But people who have that issue are have very high metabolic rates. And you burn through it so fast that it's not going to compromise you. I would eat more frequently. That's one of the things. Make sure you're chewing, make sure that you're getting everything you can out of it. Like digestive enzymes could be helpful to make sure that you're actually getting everything you can out of your food. And if you don't have good, say you don't have good fat digestion, fat absorption, that fat could be just going out in your stools. Would you say, do you have greasy stools? I know I'm going to get personal here. Do you have greasy looking stools or pale colored stools?
Not really.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. So that's the overt sign of fat malabsorption, right? But you can have subtle fat malabsorption or carbohydrate, whatever. You may not be pulling all the nutrition out. If I were you, I would go into Chronometer and do an assessment for 3 days and then make a point of how do I add 300 extra calories a day, right? We've had this. We've worked with people. One guy ended up putting on 20 pounds because he needed to, but he had to, like, he had to be very deliberate about it and go, whoops. Like, sometimes people who are underweight or, you know, just at that cusp don't realize how little they're eating. Like, they think they're eating plenty, but when they look at the calories, they're like, okay. Same thing with somebody who's very overweight who thinks they're eating very little, right? And then they look and they go, oh, I didn't realize that that cup of macadamia nuts had so many calories. Like, right? For you also, it gets hard to eat a lot of that stuff, but if you can blend some of the fats into something, like dips, for me, that's where I get in trouble, is if I make some delicious dips and yeah, I'm eating a ton of veggies, but I'm also eating like 1,000 calories worth of dip in one sitting, right? So that's a way to look at it as well. And things like, you know, adding some extra fat to your smoothies, and let's just see where that goes and see how many calories it actually is and see if you really do have this like through the roof metabolic rate, or if it's indeed that, you know, you just aren't consuming enough calories.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right.
Lori asks, started metabolic reset eating, but I've been so tired. And then she also asks, along with Violetta, how much protein do we need? Am I getting enough protein following this plan?
Well, I will say that I've been following a plan like this for the last 35 years. I get plenty of protein. And I'm not concerned about it, but it depends on what you're eating. Generally, there is enough protein. If you're eating oil, right, and that's some of your calories, there's no protein in oil, right? But if you're eating nuts or seeds or lots of veggies, you generally can. And again, if you're concerned, I would go to Chronometer, type all your stuff in, and let's just see how much. For an, it's the range of protein is really variable. If you're very athletic and you're lifting weights and you're trying to build muscle, you're going to need more than you will if not. So let's just say, so the average, let's just say 140 pound woman, right, is probably going to need somewhere between 50 and 65 grams of protein a day, right? 50 to 65 grams. If you're a bodybuilder, I would add on to that. They basically, the formula you use for that is you take your lean mass, your lean body weight, and then you multiply that by some factor depending on your activity level. So for example, if your lean weight, let's just say my lean mass is 80 pounds, right? If I'm an average person just kind of doing life, I may need 80% of that 80, right? If I'm reasonably active and doing weightlifting, maybe I need 100%. If I'm a competitive bodybuilder trying to bulk, I may need 120% of that, right? So it varies based on your activity level and your lean mass. So you can kind of estimate based on your weight. If you're basing it on your full body weight, the numbers would be a little bit lower. I usually look at, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 75 pounds, grams for most women, right? Depending on size, depending on athletics. For men, it could be a little higher than that. It might be as much as, you know, 70 to 90, depending on the size and all. All right. And quality of protein is important. But when you realistically break it down to these are the amino acids we need, and this is how much we need. It really, if it was perfectly done, you'd need maybe 20 grams of protein is all, but it's not. We don't have that perfect balance of all the amino acids, so we need a lot more for fudge factor. Okay.
Righty. Wheaton asked about caffeine. She's, Lori also was, as a follow-up, said that she gave up the caffeine for the reset, and Wheaton said she hasn't had caffeine in a year, but she's also very fatigued. So both right. Women,
no normal. Caffeine. Okay. Fatigue is kind of par for the course. So what can you do to combat it? Somewhere around day 15 to 20, right? 17, I've heard a lot of times, is that magic number when suddenly it's like, holy cow, woo, this feels great because your body's shifting gears. So what can you do? A lot of people will want to reach for caffeine. I would go for things like green tea, which is super antioxidant rich with a little bit of caffeine in it. I would go for maybe a little bit of raw cacao if your body handles that. Like, make a shake that has some raw cacao and Maybe it has a base of green tea or Tulsi tea or some of these teas that are good for supporting you. What we don't want is caffeine that goes stimulate and then crash, stimulate and crash. And that perpetuates this addiction cycle. So what is it that you can take in that would be energizing? For me, if I start to get that, I will make myself an elixir. So I'll take some base of tea. It might be as simple as ginger, lemon ginger tea, but it might be something that has Tulsi or ashwagandha. It's really nice lemon ashwagandha tea. That's really good. I have a Tulsi ginger turmeric tea that I really like. Licorice is awesome, but you just be careful of it if you have a tendency to high blood pressure. Licorice, again, it can give you some of that boost without that up and then back down again. Oh, there you go. She's got the elixir book, right? You can download that. If you go to my website, drrenamarie.com, there's a little picture of it, and download that. And it has some really good ideas for herbs and spices and things like that, that you can put into a drink. I call them elixirs, whatever you want to call them. Elixir means a magic beverage. And to me, these are ways to get really great herbs and foods into one place. And I feel amazing when I make one of these elixirs. Chaga is another one, a really nice a mushroom, cordyceps mushroom. Again, you have to test your own personal tolerance. Not so much that they're going to raise your blood sugar, because I've never seen that happen, but it's also stuff that you can do to just support your system, like nourish your energy making stuff. You got to make sure your B vitamins are good, right? And that's why we're taking you off of, somebody mentions rice, you know, white rice is fine. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't have FODMAPs or whatever else, you know, as much oxalate. Yeah, but it's white rice and it's stripped of all the B vitamins and your body needs them. And if you've been eating processed food or a lot of sweet type food and requiring a lot of B vitamins, you may need some B vitamins. So looking at maybe a good B complex would be helpful, right? A good B complex. So something like, I like liquids. So Premier Research Labs has one called Nano Max B Nano, something like that. I know Pure Encapsulations has a nice B complex that's got, you know, no additives and no, you know, fillers and all that. And it's a capsule. Seeking Health has a nice one as well. So a B complex might be helpful to get you over the hump here, as well as some of these medicinal herbs and mushrooms. And the other thing is, if you're tired, you know, is it just all the way through, or there's certain times when you're feeling more tired than others, right? Take your blood pressure. If you have access to a blood pressure meter, if your blood pressure is going way down, then the licorice would be a really nice pick me up for that. Okay, does that help? Yeah, okay, good.
Here's a celebration from Violetta. Violetta, do you say it with a V? Because you spell it with a W, and I just want to make sure I'm saying that correctly. But she said she's
your name.
Sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
now I can, yes. How do you say your name?
Violetta.
Okay, Violetta. That's beautiful. I just wanted to share your celebration, if you'd like to say it out loud about your skin.
Yes, please. So I started to follow your program last week. So I was making every day recipe for lunch and for dinner. I do intermittent fasting every morning. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that my skin look brighter. And the quality of skin, I've noticed it's much, much better. And I feel, personally, I feel a little bit lighter. And just, I was very curious this morning. So as much as I don't like to weigh myself, I've noticed that over a week, I lost around 4 pounds.
Woo! Congratulations. It's so awesome. That's really exciting. Yay!
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. Good job. Right. So some of these things that I just mentioned may help you get over the hump of this extra time. Oh, the other thing I forgot to mention, electrolytes. What happens as we start to shift our body from the sugar burning to more fat burning. And I'm not saying we're going into full ketosis, but what you'll find, we'll talk about that next week about testing ketones if anybody wants to, is that this diet puts you into a mild state of nutritional ketosis. I don't like you getting to testing too early because then you get disappointed if you're not there yet. So, you know, somewhere in that 2 week zone, you're going to notice that there's a little more ketones in your blood. I've had people when I've taken them through a ketone challenge, but they were following sweet spot and they start the challenge and go, huh, I'm already in ketosis. I'm like, yeah, because that's what the sweet spot diet does. For some people who are fast adapters, it happens really quickly, right? For others, you're more of a slow adapter and it takes a little bit more time. And then suddenly, that's why I see it like suddenly at that 17 day, it's like, holy cow, you know, more and more people are seeing that shift, that metabolic shift. So if you're not there, you know, and you're feeling tired, know that it's normal. It's normal. But here's some things you can do. But electrolytes can be super important because as your body starts to burn fat, there's a lot of liquid stored in that. And along with the liquid are electrolytes. So sometimes just adding like an electrolyte combination, Seeking Health has it, Designs for Health has it. There's a lot of companies that have good ones. Just don't get the ones with sugar in them. You know, some of them have sugar in them. That's not good. Don't get Gatorade. That's not what I mean by electrolyte replacement, but a good high quality or just a little bit of water with the lemon, with cayenne and a little bit of salt in your water can be helpful. A good whole salt, not like Morton's, you know, salt off the shelf, but a whole pink salt, a little bit of that in there can help you as well. And if you have liquid magnesium, so I don't have a specific electrolyte that I use personally, but I'll take like a liquid. I don't have one here. They're downstairs, but I'll take, oh, this is iodine, but a bottle of liquid magnesium, maybe potassium, and I put it in my water, shake it up, put some lemon and drink that. For people who don't have as sensitive a blood sugar, I wouldn't recommend it during the reset, but I usually like celery juice can be helpful with something sweet, a little bit of sweetness in there. But with the sweet spot, I'm hesitant to say to put a little bit of apple juice in there because I don't want to throw your blood sugars off. But those are the things that can be very, very, very helpful. Yeah.
Carol asks, I'm having trouble with space in meals. And Carol, we'd like you to elaborate because she mentioned her thyroid medication exercise and her first meal, how it all fits together. And she asked if she could, I think she was implying if she's a quick digesting meal, could she shorten that space to 3 hours?
Yeah. So I can't, as far as the first and the starting in the day, that's where people have the most trouble. If you're not intermittent fasting, if you are eating that breakfast and trying to get it in within the first hour and you want to exercise and you have thyroid medication, it just gets like, I can't do it all. Right. And know that you can't do it all. You can't, it's impossible to follow all of the guidelines unless you skip breakfast completely, but then you have to take something, you may have to take something with food. So I'm not recommending that at this point, unless you want to try that. But so your thyroid medication you take first thing, correct? Yeah. Yes. So you do that. And then I would say most of the docs, and you'll have to check with your doctor prescribing as to how long they want you to wait after taking it. Most of them say an hour, but I've heard some say as long as three.
An hour.
Great. So you get up in the morning and you have your thyroid medication. And then you, are you hungry then or not?
Usually I exercise. That's part of it is that it does, you know, then by the time I'm done exercising and start my breakfast, then there's not always time then for 3 hours between breakfast and lunch. I try, but I mean, 4 hours. I can do 3 hours, but the 4 hours just is really difficult.
Is it that you're very, is it your schedule that makes it difficult or is it that you start to feel really hungry?
It's a schedule.
It's a schedule because of things you have to do.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've got like a lunch break time that you can.
Well, no, my lunch break is flexible, but I can, but it's just hard to get 4 hours in there because I really am focusing on sleep. So I don't want to get up extra early to do it because I feel like.
No. Don't compromise your sleep. So let me just write these down. So you get up at what time?
Well, between 7 and 8, depending on how well I've slept.
Okay. So thyroid, let's just say it's 8. Let's just take the worst case, which let's just say it's 8. You take your thyroid at 8. You exercise right after that?
Yeah.
And what time do you finish exercise?
45 minutes to an hour.
Okay. So you're finished exercising, but say 9 to 9:15?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you, make your breakfast.
Right. And I've been usually doing smoothies, which I figure is not as hard to digest since it's already broken down.
Yeah, it's not at all. So would you say you're drinking your smoothie at somewhere around 9:15 by the time you get it made? And
well, 9:30? It's probably closer to 9:30.
Okay, good. 9:30. And then ideally, we'd want you to wait until 1:30, right?
Right.
To have your... And so what's happening in between there that makes it difficult for you to have?
It's just if I go so long for... I usually... Lunch is usually between... before that, I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't, it did work today, but this is the first day. I don't know what makes the difference. I mean, there's just little things that come up and it doesn't happen.
Things that come up in your life that make it hard. And then maybe you're not eating for 6 hours if you don't eat now. Right. And if that comes up and you know that if I don't eat now, I can't eat for another 3 hours or whatever, then you do it, right? We can't be perfect.
Okay.
But on days that you can, there's ways to get that first meal in at, say, 9:30, your second meal in at 1:30, and your third meal 4 hours from that is 5:30.
Yeah, that's not a problem usually.
Okay. So then just play. And then what time do you usually go to bed?
Around 10.
Okay. So you could even push that. So if you had to push the night meal up to 6 or 6:30 or even 7, right, you'd still be able to get your spacing in between. And then you still have your 3 hours before.
Is it when you start the meal or when you finish the meal?
It's really when you finish with regards to bedtime. Yes.
Right.
You know, in regards to the spacing. Like for most people, you know, the meal is consumed in 20 minutes or less.
Right.
But if you're the type that likes to linger over it and you're da-da-da-da-da, that's the same question that happens when people say, should I test my blood sugar at the end of the meal or the beginning? I would start by... or time my peak from my peak, I would test it out and see, because if you take an hour to eat, that sugar is already starting to climb. And by the end, it's already partially up to its peak, right? So if that's your case, if you do take a long time to eat, I would test it like midway through, like test it at 20 to 30 minutes and see where it's at, right? Because normally it's going to be similar, maybe up a little bit at the end of the meal to what it was at the start. And then it starts to climb. We want to find out not just how high it is, but when does it start to climb? So if you find that it's already started to climb and you started out at 90, and by the time you finish your meal, it's at 115, you go, whoops, that might be my peak or close, right? So, and it may not be a 45 minute peak. It's not a hard science. There's an art to this as well, because we're all a little different in how quickly we eat and how quickly we digest. And so it's just a guideline. The reason for wanting to know your time to peak is so that you don't have to poke yourself as much, right? And so you start to notice, it's, you know, pretty typically, and whether it's start or the end of your meal, it doesn't quite really matter. You know what I mean? It doesn't really, it's a matter of personalizing it to you and being consistent from time to time in how you measure it. Makes sense. So in terms of the meals, I would like your last morsel that enters your body to be 3 hours before you hit the sack, right? Okay. So that makes that one. And then the in-betweens, again, I think you're doing great if this is your schedule, and I wouldn't worry about it. I just let it go, you know?
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. One good trick is don't start your next meal until your sugar is close to back to where it was before you started the meal before.
Yeah, right. I've been able to do that pretty well. Or, you know, it's close. It's within like 5 points.
Yeah, 5 points is a margin of error. It's insignificant. Yeah, so that's what I would recommend. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right.
Okay, Wendy asks, her blood sugar upon waking today was 51. She felt shaky and she had a green smoothie right away. Is 51 safe or normal?
Are you on any medications? Are you on any blood sugar, blood pressure? No medication. Is it Wendy or Lori?
Wendy.
Oh, you're unmute yourself here. I see Lori going like this and I'm like, wait.
That happened to me yesterday and the fatigue, and I actually just sat down and made myself just sit there until I I think around 9:30, I drank celery juice, and then I felt a little bit better, but I felt shaky and weak.
Yeah.
And
how long had it been since you'd eaten before that?
The night before it, probably like six.
And then what time was this in the morning?
Enough calories. I'm not sure. I need to do the chronometer because I'm not sure I'm getting quite enough calories. And I was at 54 when I felt shaky, and my muscles even, like I everything felt shaky.
Yeah. So unless you're on medication, it's generally not going to get down to a point of it being dangerous and like you're going to go into a coma or something, but it can be dangerous in terms of you're driving a car or whatever. It's probably not going to get that low. How high does it get during the day?
I hover in the 70s and 80s, but after I eat, I've been trying to stay below, but I'm not trying to steal Wendy's time. I'm sorry.
Okay, so it's Wendy was asked the question.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Is it similar to what you're experiencing?
Yes, it's similar. I am not on medications.
Okay, good.
And, it gets at nighttime, I'm at 90, 80 when I go to bed. Maybe I'm now down to 70s. I think I adapt quickly.
Yeah. Are you taking any of the same thing for Lori as well? Are you taking any of the supplements, the chromium, magnesium?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Lower your doses then. It seems like you don't need quite as much. So if you're taking a bedtime dose, then maybe don't take the bedtime dose.
Okay.
You may not need it. Because it's going down too low during the night. It's like taking everything you just ate and putting it into your cells, and then you're like nothing left in the sugar. And then when you do need the energy to get up, you can't. How long does it take to get the sugar back to, or is it only after eating that it goes back to after eating?
Yeah, I went walking right after that, but a short one because I didn't want to get too far from home. I felt so shaky. And I'd had a green smoothie. And so it was back up into the 90s within an hour after that.
Okay. So I would recommend for both of you, don't take your nighttime supplement. Don't just eliminate that version. Don't take them at night. All right. And see if that makes a difference.
But still keep it to 800 every day.
No, I would drop it. I would drop it. I think you can drop it to 600 or even 500.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Good. What's the best thing to do when it's that low?
And you're feeling shaky, then I would do what you did, which is have a smoothie or have something to bring it up. Because that brought it up pretty quickly, right?
Yeah.
And get sugar candies or any of the garbage that they tell diabetics to do. I mean, for them, they need it because they may go way low because they're on insulin, but you're not.
It's not. And I still feel tired and a little shaky. But that might be the whole week reset thing too.
It could be, but just lower that. Those doses are starting doses, but some people need less. Some people actually need more. And it sounds like you need less, both of you. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay.
Okay, Federica said she started the metabolic reset Monday. Her peak glucose has gone down from 140, 160 to 120. So that's on target for her. But she's not lost any weight. She wants to know, is this normal and when could it start happening?
Everybody's different, right? So it's really a matter of waiting it out, or also, like again, I said before, do the chronometer to see if you're actually eating more calories than you need. But the weight loss, it takes a while. These guys sound like they went into fat burning like really quickly, right? But you may not be. You may have to wait a little bit longer. And it depends on how long it's been going on, how you sound like you started out high, but don't give up. You haven't been doing it long enough to be frustrated. But, just keep watching and adjusting and looking at how many calories you're taking in and how much protein, fat, carb. Okay.
Okay. Candace says that she's getting dizzy every time she gets up from bed after starting the magnesium supplement. Even reducing her dosage has still making her dizzy. She uses Natural Vitality Calm brand Ionic Magnesium. Any suggestions?
So do you get dizzy like that throughout the day or just when you're first getting up?
she mentioned when she gets up and when she stands up from a chair too quickly. Okay.
So here's the thing. Magnesium is one of the supplements that we give people with hypertension to lower their blood sugar, blood pressure, right? So you may be starting with your blood pressure normal and it's going too low. So I would get a blood pressure cuff and see if you could get, figure out what your blood pressure is, because it may be that your blood pressure is low. There's something called orthostatic hypotension. That means that when you change position from seated or lying down to standing, that your blood pressure goes way down and then you're like wobbly and dizzy. So I would look at your blood pressure, and I would look at maybe you're overdoing the magnesium. So I would cut it out for a few days and just see what happens, and then see if you can figure out the right dose after that.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Okay, great. Well, my blood pressure has always been on the low side since forever.
So here's the deal. It may be the magnesium is great for getting people's blood pressure lower. Usually it balances, but maybe taking too much. But I would say you're probably a good candidate for licorice tea. Get yourself some licorice tea. Yogi has a licorice mint or Egyptian licorice. It's awesome. It's very therapeutic. So you don't want to be drinking a quart or two a day because you may end up with high blood pressure. But it's not going to do that if you just drink a couple of cups of licorice tea a day.
Okay.
Helpful. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Okay. That's what's up. Barbara has a celebration. She said that she's already lost a couple of pounds and that it's her second time doing the program. She creeped up a little bit with adding new foods, but she's learned a lot and she's having amazing results just after a few days.
Yippee, Barbara. Hooray.
Mm-hmm. All right, question for Donna.
I unmuted her, but I can't hear her.
Okay.
Try to speak, Barbara. Ugh, I think there's something wrong with your mic. So I think this happened once before.
It's Barbara Bendrup. So
yeah, I've got it right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Barbara had such an amazing experience last year in Sweet Spot with her blood sugar. Oh, now I can. Where is she? Where are you? Now I don't see you.
You took me off. It took me off the camera.
Oh, there you go. Whoops.
Whoops. Wait a minute. I'll hit it again.
There you go. Now I can hear you.
Okay.
Yay.
Hi, dear. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? It sounds like.
I am good. It's good to be back here with you again. And I just, in my previous chat post, I just want to tell everyone that you are the reason that I am no longer waking up with a 160 to 180. And I have, last year when I did the reset, it brought me down or actually reversed the diabetes when I went to the doctor and got my A1C way down. And, but you know, with life and stress and reintroducing foods, I was creeping up some, but still doing all the things that you taught me and that I've learned, and that from the heart math to the intermittent fasting to the burst, all the things that have been so helpful. So I'm just so grateful, and it's wonderful to be back and have this reset. I think my body really went to work quickly because I usually am up and walking 2 to 3 miles early in the morning. And this morning I slept a couple of hours longer. I feel like my body's working. I feel tired and not myself, and I'm just going with it. I'm recognizing that it's working. It's using my energy, and I'm just expressing gratitude and want everyone to know that this works, and it's a wonderful, wonderful program.
Thank you so much. But what Barbara said is interesting, right? My body's working. So sometimes when your body's working on the inside doing the healing, it doesn't leave you as much energy for doing the outside. And so many of us get into the mode of do and do and do and do and do, and we're expending so much energy on those outside things that our bodies don't have the opportunity to go into full-blown healing mode. So thank you for reminding us of that, Barbara. Thank you.
Yes, and that's another thing I've learned, is to listen to my body. And it's okay if I'm not up doing my power walk and everything I've usual. My body's saying, hey, wait a minute. you asked me to do this, and now I'm doing it. So just take a step back and let me work and awesome. and be calm. I go out on my patio, I walk in the grass barefooted to reground myself and meditate and read and know that I'll feel like exercising a little bit later, and it's okay.
Yes, thank you for the reminder.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so next question.
Donna, is it normal for glucose levels to drop right after eating and then come back up? So she had a big salad with veggies and avocado. Pre-food was 92, right after 76, 30 minutes, 84, 45 minutes, 88, and an hour, 89.
Yeah, so is this one-time deal or is this consistent? Is the question.
Right. Donna, if you're with us, please feel free to join.
And yeah. Here's the.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, where I can.
Yeah, it's happened a few times where right after, like when I check right after eating, it dips down, okay. And then it will go up and peak. That one just didn't really peak any higher than my starting, but sometimes it'll dip down and then it'll go way up and peak.
And when you say way up, does it go abnormally way up or is it
still? No, but like it'll dip down to like that 70 something and then it'll go up to like 109 or.
Okay. So here's what happens. And this may be a little more technical than most people want to hear, but with insulin, we have two surges. We have an initial surge and then we have a secondary surge. And so what might be happening is, how long does it take you to eat before I say this?
About 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay. So you may have an early initial surge of insulin as soon as your body's perceiving and it takes it down, and then the sugar comes up and then it comes back down again. So that could be what's happening there. I wouldn't be too concerned about it unless you're feeling like woozy, awful. I think it's just part of your pattern.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
All right, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, Rika, am I the only one who's behind? I have financial limitations and I need a lot more strips, but I've run out and I need to wait till May to replenish them and to get the supplements. Do you have strategies for dealing with the behindness, the guilt?
Come to the call on Wednesday and we'll address that there. Right? The old line, we always put more pressure on ourselves to get things done. I didn't connect the money and I know not enough money to get supplements, but what was the other part of it? Not being able to do
test strips.
Oh, the strips. Yeah. Yep. So here's what you do. You know,
I'd bought three times what I had before and I thought that was plenty and I had not anticipated quite how much measuring you're having us do, and with my peak not being regular, I'm still at, you know, testing every 15 minutes.
Okay, so now that you have to take a break from it because you have no more strips, here's what I'm going to recommend. Right. Take the chart and just eat from the green side and do your stress management 5 times a day. You know, get to bed, do the timing, do the stress thing, and that's what you do. And like, don't worry about it. Okay? Take a break from testing.
Do as much of it as I can, but I'm back at work now, so that's going to be, I'll do as much as I can manage. Thank you.
But all you have to do is leave out the bad foods, right? Leave out the red foods and the yellow foods. Since you can't test them, just assume that they do raise your sugar and just stick to the green foods.
Okay. Not the easiest thing if you don't cook, but I will do as much as I can.
Okay, great. I don't cook either, so I just want to let you know. All right, and come to the call Wednesday because we have some strategies for that behindness and that pressure we put on ourselves. Yeah, you got this.
Okay.
All right.
All right. A few people, Talia, Donna, and Sharon all asked about timing of taking supplements before you eat, while you're eating, or immediately after. And if you practice intermittent fasting, is it okay to take them on an empty stomach?
Yes. So basically you can take them, it's best around the meals, or if you find that it goes up, like for me with exercise, to take it preferably before, but after works well. Before the meal is great, during the meal is great, after any of those times. Empty stomach is great as long as you're not having like Lori and Wendy were having like super low dips, then I wouldn't do it on an empty stomach. Then I would just do it with the next meal. But it doesn't, it's not that, you can do it in between, especially if you're somebody who's spiking and you're like, wait, why is my sugar still at 140? Go take your supplements, right? And if you find that you're really low in the morning, like I said to Wendy and Lori, don't take them at night. Okay. And what was that it? Is that all? I think it was all related to, yeah. Good.
All right, Christy, day four, I'm so surprised how yummy the food is. I look forward to my green shake because it tastes so good. I'm surprised at how much less food I'm eating, yet I'm not hungry. So thankful.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes, lovely. We found that when we did our fasting while feasting, fasting with food back in November, that people were like posting these beautiful pictures of overflowing plates of food and going, I can't even finish all this food. And they were dropping weight and getting their blood sugars normalized. I think Heather, you said you posted some beautiful pictures of your food. So it's, I'm really excited to hear that.
Me too. I know. It's so powerful when your blood sugar starts to stabilize. Cynthia had mentioned that we were supposed to give cues for drinking water. So I wanted to offer that for everyone. Please take a big sip of water wherever you are. We've got to walk our walk. Thank you, Cynthia, for the reminder.
Awesome. Thank you.
So some people have been mentioning the meal planner and recipe book print version. Christine had asked Facebook when that would be. So can we provide an update?
Yeah, well, you probably have more of an update than I. But we were about to send it to press, and they always send it to me, a copy of it. And I found a couple of things that weren't quite 100%. So they had to go back to our graphics person to go back into the document and fix it. And she was just about finished with it on Friday and was going to send it in on today. And she's in the Philippines and their internet went down. So as soon as she gets that done, we'll have it off to the printer. We're going to see if there's somebody else that can do it. But I think without her actual graphics design files, it's going to be, you know, a challenge. So we'll get that off as soon as we can. And once we do, then they'll start fulfilling the orders right away.
Thank you. All righty.
And somebody had asked, I think it was Edie, I think I mentioned this the other day, but if you've been in the program before, like if you're in ERC or you have done the program before and ordered the print version, I wouldn't order it again. Just use the one that you have. And if there's little bits, because basically the recipes, a few minor facelifts, I mean, nothing really significant. And what you can do is if you have a favorite recipe that you want and you like to have it in your book and you're going to make it, just look it up in the PDF and you go, well, it's the same. I don't need to print it. Oh, it's different. I'm going to print it. And then just add it, you know, to your book. So.
Okay, Katie Lees asked, the blood sugar number before a meal should, let me rephrase it. She's asking that you want to return to your fasting blood sugar within 3 hours after finishing your meal, right?
Yeah, 2 to 3, yep.
Okay, and she was-
And within 5 to 10 points. I mean, sometimes it just doesn't go quite that low until it's further out, but yeah, at least close, very close, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she was wondering, why do you need to measure your blood sugar 5 to 6 hours after a meal? Like before, like, so in other words, before you start the next meal, why is it you want to measure again before you start that meal?
Well, before you start the next meal, you have to know where it's starting from, right? And for some people, they have a hypoglycemic low. If you don't have that tendency, then you don't have to test it over and over, but right before the next meal, you should test. Yeah, because we want to get a baseline for each meal. And you don't have to test every day. I emphasize this on the Facebook thing we did on Friday, and we'll get that posted to the site for those of you who missed it. But basically, you don't have to test every single meal. If you're just going to eat the same old, and you know what it does for your sugar, you don't have to keep testing every meal, right? It's just, I would do a spot check once a day, once every other day even, if you're tending to be stable. But you don't have to do every meal, right? You don't have to do every meal. If you're going to introduce, like say, okay, we don't recommend that you introduce something in this phase in the metabolic reset that you didn't already test before. But let's just say you're out and about, or there's some reason that you can't get a certain food and you get something else, that might be a good idea to test it. Here's some exceptions. If you substitute arugula for spinach in a salad, they're probably going to react the same way. Save your strips, save your finger, okay? If you're going to be, you know, making a big salad and you're going to add some pumpkin seeds instead of sunflower seeds, but you never tested pumpkin seeds, they're probably going to react the same as the sesame seeds, right? The big exception is if you are using any legumes. And those of you who are very thin and starting to lose weight, you may test like lentils to see if that can give you some staying power. But if just because lentils doesn't raise your sugar doesn't mean that kidney beans won't. So the exception comes in those legumes or starchier foods because it can make a big difference. But generally speaking, any of the non-starchy vegetables can be substituted for others. The exception happens is like with carrots, carrots, zucchini, and onions, when they're cooked, can tend to have a higher response to your sugar than when they're raw. So if you've tested on raw cauliflower and you're going to eat cooked cauliflower, do it spot test just to make sure. With me, I can eat a whole head of cauliflower ground up as cauliflower rice with a nice sauce on it. But if I cook it, I tend to need to do a half a head of cauliflower as opposed to a whole head. And I know that's a huge amount. Most people don't eat whole heads of cauliflower. And it probably doesn't impact you very much, but that's for me what happens. Carrot, I can eat as much grated raw carrot as I want on a salad. But if I either blend the carrot into something or juice it for sure or cook it, then it's going to raise my sugar. So it's learning those little nuances and then adjusting.
Okay. Betty asks, I notice sometimes you prepare food ahead of time. Do greens and food in general keep the nutritional content when prepared ahead of time?
Here's we go from being perfect to being good enough, right? Picking a vegetable and walking it to your table, you're losing some nutrition. Having somebody in California pick your vegetable and shipping it across, it loses nutrition. Chopping it, you're always gonna lose some. So the ideal is you go out and you stand at the bush and you eat one thing after another. Practical, right? Don't work that way, right? So we can't be perfect and we can't be ideal. So I will do, what does it take? So for us, my husband likes to make big batches of smoothie. I would never do it that way because it takes him a long time to do it. But he like has this thing where he takes the blender and he pours it back and forth. And he ends up with 2 to 3 half gallons of smoothie. That's great. And we put it in the fridge and it lasts for 3 days. So it's really nice to have that, right? Is it as nutritious as it was when it first got made? No, probably not, but it's not by much. And he always puts a lemon in it, and lemon helps to prevent oxidation, or apple cider vinegar, or he likes coconut vinegar as well. So yeah, making things in advance. So making, you know, chopping up veggies and having grated carrots in there. You don't want to leave it for 2 weeks, whereas a raw whole carrot, you probably could leave for 2 weeks, but it helps you to put together a meal really quickly. So whatever it takes to help you to do it, even if it's not perfect, is what I would do, right?
All right. Sharon Kassan asks, I'm still doing a low FODMAP diet. Am I able to eat cognac noodles or powder?
What I would do for you, well, the powder probably easily because it's so little, right? You're just using a little bit of it, but it depends on how sensitive your gut is and how long you've been doing it. I know last time you said you were transitioning out of that and introducing foods. So I would test it. The noodles, you know, you need a larger quantity. So it may, and I would just test, like really tune into how does my digestion feel before I eat this? How does my digestion feel after I eat it?
May I ask a question?
Sure.
I can't have the, you know, a lot of your drinks that you have in the morning have got chia in them. So I can't have the chia. Yep. If I'm using konjac to thicken things, would I use like equal ratio of chia to konjac powder? Or?
No. You would have a big brick glob. Okay. Yeah, you would just use a little bit. Like if I'm making like say a nut cheese and I want to make it with less nuts and I want to thicken it, I'll put more water in there and then I maybe at the most put half a teaspoon to a teaspoon, right? Yeah, very small amounts, just play with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Konjac is really good for stabilizing blood sugar, by the way. There's a ton of studies with diabetics and insulin resistance. It shows that it just keeps it steady. It's been shown to help lower cholesterol. So it's got a really good track record. With the noodles, here's the deal. Make sure you chew them really well. Are you going to see some really weird stuff coming out the other end, like these stringy things that you might think are worms, right? They're not worms. They're unchewed. And it's hard to, you have to really take the time to chew them, right? To make sure they don't just dissolve in your mouth like a wheat flour noodle would, but they can be very, very helpful. Just see how your gut does with them.
Okay.
I would start with the powder.
Okay. But konjac is acceptable on low FODMAP?
Well, I don't think it's ever, I've never seen it tested one way or the other. I haven't seen it. So I would guess that it could be, but it does have some of that, you know, that fiber, that gelatinous kind of fiber to it. Mm-hmm. But again, with the powder, you're using so little, unless you have a super, super sensitive tummy, you know, and FODMAPs are impossible to 100% avoid. You're just going,
well,
yeah.
Every sort of recipe or guideline that you look at is different.
Yep, it is, right. And that's why we all have to just bounce it off. How does the body feel? How are you doing?
Yeah, so I've been basically following yours. My naturopath had given me the original one that you took yours from. Mm-hmm. But there were some things on there I just thought I'm not going to eat those.
I know, that's why I made mine, like a cognac or some kind of bourbon. And like there were some weird things on there, like,
bacon?
What was it?
Bacon.
Bacon, like, yeah, bacon. Maybe it's low FODMAP, but it's high in a lot of other stuff that we don't want in our bodies. So, yeah. Yeah, that's why I made the one that I made.
Thank you.
We have a chart, and I'd be happy to share it if anybody wants it. We could post it in Facebook or something. But I have a chart on the food religions. And I don't want everybody to get this chart because I don't want anybody. But if you're dealing like Sharon is with trying to keep on a low histamine or a low FODMAP, it's a chart we put together that has foods down one side, the diet over this, and then there's a red, yellow, or green column. You'll see that there's a lot of white in there because there were things we just couldn't find any, you know, indication whether this was okay for FODMAP, et cetera. But if anybody wants that, just reach out on Facebook and we'll just send it individually to people. I don't want anybody to get, I promise you at the end of the program, I'll give it to anybody else who wants it, but I don't want you having one more thing to be worried about. Like, oh, I don't know. Should I have, do I need to? I don't, you know, let's just try to, like, it's just like, not be perfect. But if somebody's already said to you, you need a low FODMAP diet, a low histamine diet, whatever, it'll at least give you the chart of what's acceptable on those different diets. Okay? Great.
All right. Wendy says she's still having trouble getting into the modules. A couple of people had that issue. The modules are saying they're too early. So that sounds like just a help desk issue.
Well, you're only going to be able to get to 1 through 4. Anything after that is going to say too early.
She did say any of the weeks. Those were her words. So
right. I think like Christina knows how to fix it. For some reason, last week, it's like a mouse got into all of our systems. You know, if a mouse gets into things and it starts chewing on your wires and things stop working. I don't know how else to explain it. But two different systems on two different servers running two different membership platforms, they went haywire at the same time. And we've gone back in there. We have our top technical person. He's all the way in the UK. He's top expert on this stuff. And he's like, I don't know why. And people are not being able to get their password to work or things like that. So most people it's back, but it might, Christina can fix it. If it's a tagging issue, maybe one of your tags got thrown off and you're not able to get to those pages anymore. But at first it was universal. It was all over the map with everybody. Right. So thank you for your patience with us. We're trying our best. I lose sleep over these things because I think about people out there trying to get at their stuff and not being able to, and my heart breaks. But on the other hand, we are literally. So reach out to Christina, helpdesk@drritamarie.com. She's also in the in the Facebook group. So if you tag her there and write her to Facebook, like say, hey, Christina, I just sent you a help desk ticket. This is what's happening. She'll need, you know, all your information. She needs your email address and all, so she can go in the back end and fix it. And she's right now, just the only thing she can do is fix them one at a time for anybody that's still having an issue. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Prem said that she would like to, this is another tech question, so I didn't know these were back to back. She said that she started her emails, her daily metabolic reset emails, and she'd like to reset them. She said she emailed help desk, but hasn't.
Okay, did you go back, Prem, and just click the button again? Because that's supposed to reset them.
Sorry, there wasn't a button to click at all. It just goes to on the page.
No. On the page where you first started them, right? There's a page on week two or three, week three.
Oh, okay.
That says click here to start your metabolic reset messages. Go back and click that message again, and it should restart it. And if it doesn't, then let Christina know. But that's what's supposed to happen. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wonderful. Okay, two people asked this question. That was another module question. Okay, we've addressed all the tech questions.
If you have any questions with getting your access, please just write to Christina. And you can go on Facebook and tag her and say, hey, I sent you a message. That way she knows to get alerted to find it and prioritize it.
Someone had asked, where can I find answers to my questions from past calls? So that would be in our call recordings. And I don't know who asked
that. On the call recording, and if it was questions that you asked that didn't get addressed on the call, last Friday, I got on Facebook and did a marathon Facebook Live, and I had in front of me every single question that had not been answered in that one document. And after this, if there's any questions left over, Angelica's going to give me another document like that, and I'll make sure that those get addressed either on a Facebook Live or on a recording that we post to the site, or if they're not things that need to be done right away, we'll do it. But sometimes there's just this same pattern of questions, so it's easy for me to address it like, okay, looks like there's some misunderstanding here, and let's clear that up.
Great.
I have a comment. This is Marcia talking.
Hi.
People are asking about the Facebook Lives and the Monday calls and the Friday calls. And so we put those all in the announcements for those of you who are on Facebook. When you come onto Facebook, if you would check the announcements first, because I kind of rotate the ones that are pinned to the top, but they're all there. So you have knowledge of all the different calls and Facebook Lives that we're going to be doing every week.
Awesome.
And Monday is the standard, and Wednesday is usually Angelica's standard Facebook Live, but this week she's doing it Thursday at 4 Eastern time. So just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Right, and if you're not, then you get an email about these, and then if you're not on Facebook, obviously you're not gonna see them. But what we're doing is, Angelica has asked our tech team to take the recordings of her Facebook Lives on Wednesdays and then put them on the recording page on the site. So you won't lose anything. Same thing with mine on Friday. So we have to make sure that those get there.
And
somebody asked about the Friday and you didn't get a message. It's because sometimes I just spontaneously say, oh, I have time, I'm gonna do one, right? And I knew I wanted to do one Friday because it was start of the metabolic reset. But until Friday afternoon, I didn't know exactly what time it was supposed to be because I had a back-to-back schedule and I was trying to see if I had any cancellations or what happened. And I ended up doing them. My son came over, so that delayed it a little bit. And so it was, 6 o'clock or 6:30 or something that we did it on Friday. Yeah.
Great.
But these are always the same. Every Monday, this time, same time, same station, just show up here.
Okay. Donna asks, I need clarification. Do we try to stay 20 to 25 point range no matter what our fasting number is? For example, waking in the 70s, so I try to stay no more than 20 to 25?
If you're below 90 or below, just stick to the 110. What will happen is if your blood sugar is lower, you're going to get a higher jump. It's just survival. Body goes, oh, look at all that. And then the sugar goes up higher. So don't worry about it. 110. I mean, if you want to target for 100, if you tend to be lower, you can certainly do that. But don't like drive yourself crazy. Like, oh my God, I ate this banana. Not banana, we're not eating banana. But I ate this whatever and my sugar went up by 30 points. And it ended up at 98. That's okay. I ate last night. I started my meal. I was 78, I think. 76 when I started the meal. And then went up to 102. Like that's a little higher than that 25 or 20 points, but it was still a good number. Right? So I could go, 102, what happened? You know, wait a minute, you just ate a big meal.
Maybe. We have just a few more minutes to wrap the call. So Katie has been asking, I asked her question earlier, and she says it wasn't asked correctly. Katie, would you mind coming live for a couple minutes, and then we can address that question we spoke to earlier. Let me look at the doc. What was it?
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, okay, great. Hi.
Yes, my question was that usually we measure before we start eating, and this is like the baseline for that meal, and we should get back to it in maximum 3 hours. But my back to the before meal will be there in 5 to 6 hours, and not once, but that's like average for me.
That's your pattern, yeah.
Yeah, what does it show? What does it mean? Can I get to the 3 hours or?
Yeah, here's what I would say. If you can, are you underweight, overweight, normal weight?
I'm easy to gaining weight, little bit over the normal.
Okay, good. Then we don't have to worry about you being like one of our others earlier that you're going to waste weight in nothingness. So if you can, then I would go to wherever it's down, back down to the normal. If you can do that on a regular basis, you will reset that. That will reset.
Actually, it's basically what I say. I eat about around 10, 11 in the morning, and then my second meal will be around between 3, 4 p.m. So I could,
perfect.
And I will get the 6 hours. It's not hard for me.
Great.
But I see that it goes down like just before I will start.
Just before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I understand that it went through here somewhere that it's about 2 to 3 hours. And I see that it might miss like so bad. Is it something that
it's something that I think will correct. So here's the deal. We're all coming into this and I'm giving you some ideals. The ideal is you're starting with your fasting glucose in the 70s or low 80s. And then it goes up to maybe 100, a little over 100. And then by 2 hours later, it's back down. Reality is you're here because there's some sort of dysregulation going on. And so the more you do, the longer you do this, the more conscientious you are, the closer you're going to get to that.
Why is it good to get it back in 3 hours? And what does it do if it's in 6 hours?
It's basically what it indicates is your degree of resistance that the cells have taking the sugar up. And as they get more and more and more sensitive, it's just going to go right back down.
Okay.
Yeah. Good question.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All righty. Well, I know that Dr. Rita Marie has another meeting at 2:30 her time. So we're going to wrap up. Any parting words you'd like to share, Dr. Rita Marie?
Yes, absolutely. So you guys are doing great. And some of the stuff that you're asking about, like what, who was it that just asked that? Katie. What Katie just asked about is this is one of the other signs of you being out of balance. So same way as I can't say to somebody who's diabetic and their fasting glucose is 120, you absolutely must have your blood sugar not go higher than 110 after every meal. And they go, okay, then I can't eat, right? So we're all in this different state of where there's some dysregulation going on. For some, it's that you end up producing so much insulin that you end up with these pivots, these divots in between meals, instead of it being at, exactly the same or around what it was when you started, you're at like 10 or 20 points lower, right? And some of you, it's like it's taking 5 or 6 hours. If you can stay the time, and in one of the best guidelines is to have not eat your next meal until you're close to what you were when you started your previous meal. What that may be saying to some people is like, okay, I'm not going to eat today, right? And it may create more stress. So I haven't said that before, and I'm glad this came up. But that would be our ideal, right? You just wait until it's down. For me, I go out running. It goes up to 102. I don't want to eat until it comes back down to 80. right? So that's what I do. And I took some chromium and, you know, I did some breathing and it came back down, right? So that's the ideal. We're not all going to be living in an ideal world all the time. But these are great questions and clarification points, right? And if you find yourself like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? You're only 5 days in or 3 days in or whatever number of days in to the actual reset before you were testing. So you're all doing great. If you're seeing any improvements by now, whew, that's great because you're only a few days in. So congratulations. So my parting words are, give yourself some space to be. Give yourself some space to try and go, well, that didn't work, and then try something else. Allow yourself, give yourself permission to not be perfect, because whenever you strive to be perfect, you fall so much short. You fall so much short. There is no perfect. There is no caught up, right? We set this up so that you can go through it at your own pace. Minimally, we recommend that you download and read the guide for each week. That should take you 5 to 10, 15, 20 minutes at the most. And at least know, at least put it in your subconscious. If for whatever reason your schedule is off and you can't actually do it that way, fine. You can do it again. You can keep doing it. We're not going to abandon you at the end of this. We have a continuation program. If anybody feels like, oh God, I need to go longer, we have a continuation program called Stay in Your Sweet Spot. I'll tell you more about that later for those of you who are going to need it. And some of you are not. Some of you have these tools that you're just going to be able to take in your life and be phenomenal for forever, right? But most of us need support. Most of us need support. And it's really helpful to hear what other people are saying. And so go out and let's get you in your sweet spot. Let's get you in your sweet spot. All right. Thank you so much. And if any of your questions didn't get answered, we'll have them collected and we'll make sure they get answered. All right. Bye, everybody. Thank you. Unmute them so they could say goodbye. I'll unmute you. Bye bye. Let me hear your voices.
Bye. Thanks
so much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for being here. Bye. Appreciate it. You guys are making the world a better place, you know. By taking care of you, you are taking care of others in the world, right? Because you're not only a good model for others, but you're creating a healthier world, right? And there's going to be less and less and less contagious type diseases happening when we have a whole world full of really strong people with strong immune systems that, you know, don't need to worry about infecting other people. So do this for you, do this for your family members, the people who love you, but also do this for the world at large, the big contribution you make.
Oh, she didn't, she put it in.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Because for your feet, to lift your feet little up. You have to.